Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 97 for October 8th, 2019. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 20 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I put the list together of top requests, and we're going to go through as many of those as we can. We are broadcasting live at 4 p.m. Eastern time and recording this, and the recording will be available on the Timing Research site and YouTube channel and podcast networks later today, so you'll be able to find it there. Today I have arranged for Michael Filigera and Jim Kenny to join us, and Jim will be moderating, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thank you, David, and great to be with everybody again today. Michael, you are going to give a little quick background on yourself, if you would, and a little bit about what you guys are doing over there.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Michael Filigera. I am the proprietor and the owner of LogicalSignals.com. I have been trading in the markets since 1979 and was an options market maker. That is actually my career, and I've traded here in San Francisco. I've traded in London, Amsterdam, and Germany, and then came back to San Francisco. Currently, I have I still trade options, but just not as heavily as I used to. I basically am a futures trader, and I have repurposed my own style and now day trade.
Okay, super. And at the end of the broadcast, of course, Michael, you're going to be able to let people know how to get a hold of you and other things that you might have to offer. But let's get right into the list, because today we've had a big volatile day, down 40 handles on the S&P, I was noticing, and obviously a lot of volatility on the downside here today. So let's get right into the first one, which is NVIDIA. And what are you seeing on NVIDIA?
I am seeing a stock that just keeps trying to recover from what happened, you know, the debacle that happened twice, I guess. Once in 2018? Yes. No? This year. Excuse me. No, last year. Last October. And it's not really making a lot of progress, although, I mean, it's come up. It's reached back up towards 190 and beginning to fail again. I think fundamentally, there are still some issues that have been left unresolved. But being that I'm not a fundamental trader, I'm going to leave that part more up to you, Jim. And but as on a technical basis, I think that that NVIDIA as a chart is moving from, at least on the daily, moving from overbought and starting to head lower again. Now, it needs to break below the 200-day moving average, which on my chart sits at 172.99. And so you can kind of see that it's waffled, and it's basically held the market or held the stock to a lower level versus a higher level. So if we just kind of look, we see that how it comes down, it peaked up, then it fell below, then it tried, then it fell, then it got above it, then it fell. But, you know, so it's the same type of a pattern. It goes above, it drops below, it goes above, it drops below. I would anticipate that NVIDIA over the next weeks to months is again going to work its way lower. And first stop, I think it's going to be 170. It looks like it should find some support there. And then basically we have support again at 160 down to probably 158 and then down below 150. I don't necessarily suspect at this juncture that the stock's going to fall out of bed and start heading for the lows that we've seen at 130 and then last year at 124.50. So unless they can really take care of the internal problems that they've had and get that all cleared up, I don't think the stock really has a whole lot of hope to rally much more than it already is.
All right. Well, just a quick input that I'll just throw in there is that NVIDIA did run up to that 190 area this week, and now it has like a little bit of an island up there where it gapped up and then it gapped down. So there's an island up there at 190. The moving average on the 200-day I have at 161, and the bigger problem for it is that it is in the semiconductor index, and the SMH, which is the broad-based index for SMH, has gone from the 123.5 area down today to 116.73. So if we take out 170 on NVIDIA and we take out 115 on the SMH, I think that would make looking for higher levels temporarily a little bit far-fetched.
Well, I would agree.
But like I say, one day down does not make a trend. And it does have an inverted 50-day and 200-day at 166 and 161. So again, it could be just having a pullback, but it could be more severe if in fact it takes out some of these numbers. And of course, the broad-based market probably will have quite a bit to do with it as well. Next one on the list is something that got hit as soon as Apple came out with their Apple TV stuff and their packages that they've got along with Disney and everybody else. So this one's called Roku. And what are you seeing on Roku?
Roku got caught up in the hype of what they produced, what their products are. And so that just really pushed prices to that high. And at the time, I kept thinking, I like Roku. I have it. I have two of them in my house. But I don't really see the necessity for $176 stock price. So Apple comes out, we start to slide pretty hard. Initially, on an Elliott basis, on off this daily chart again, I can count, I believe we still, I can count five waves down, but I believe that it's got one more, and that'll make it very clear. So I'm going to say that the stock is going to drop and go below the most recent low, which is 98.08. And how far it's going to drop, I can kind of go back. It could be pretty severe. It could be $30. And at $30, we're looking at 78 on the stock before we would see a sustainable rally that would actually move more than $8. Now, right now, it's kind of gone from that 98 to 108, okay, $10. And it's not very hopeful. Although the stock was up today when everything else was getting crushed, Roku managed to close in the plus column. I think over the near term, lower, with potential for a drop below $80. I have the 200-day moving average again on the daily chart at 94.10 at all, and that kind of has held the market higher. If we just go back and look, it hasn't really dropped below that all year. So if it starts to go below now, it spells trouble. We could see some accelerated sales, people getting out of the stock, and we'll have to wait and see. We are coming into the year end, and so what portfolio managers, hedge fund managers decide they may want to do or not do with the stock. So there's a lot of things out there that could hold it lower, and that's where I believe it's going to go.
Yeah, this is a poster child for my situation where I look at the 200-day moving average and then the price. And back in September, anybody who talked to me about this, I said, listen, it's 100% above its 200-day average. I don't know what's going to happen to this thing, but I wouldn't be betting that it's never going to have a drop. And so obviously, as soon as it got any news of competition or something that would water down, because the appetite for these companies that don't make money or have high P ratios, it has definitely slowed down. And so this is, again, way away from its 200-day average. It's not making money. It's very much a come-line bet. And when everybody, $12.5 billion now, how much was the valuation when it was at 176 in September? Quite a bit higher. So yeah. when everybody wants to get out, you're going to get this kind of a drop. This 100 area is no mystery. There's a lot of support around here, and a lot of people have been playing a buy side off of 100, and they've made some money. The fact that it's up today is really an evidence of the fact that they've already whacked this thing. And so obviously, if you've already beaten something up $80, the fact that it's not getting beaten up today, I don't think is any award making type thing. But, the blooms definitely come off the rose. You said it's 94 on the 200 day. For some reason, my machine's telling me 84. So I don't know. We know it's right underneath where we're trading now.
Right.
So, obviously those would be numbers to put as a line in the sand, and whether this thing's going to bounce back or not probably has a lot to do with can they compete with more competitors.
Right.
Well, anyway, like I say, if you own it, you're obviously probably trying to hope that this 95, 85 area holds up and that you'll keep getting a bounce. If you don't own it, you have to be careful about just jumping in, but 85, 100 would be a couple of lines in the sand if you wanted to be positive on the thing. Okay, well, this next guy is no non-profit maker. This thing's been making tons of money for a very long time. And it had a very good year so far until recently. This is Costco.
I believe Costco is a solid company. I think that the warehouse sales, at least in my neck of the woods here, you can't get in to the Costco here in San Francisco. It is jam-packed. Rarely, you can drive around trying to find a place to park car. So they're still extremely popular. They're still both heavily memberships, both corporate and then single people. Now, as far as the stock goes, I'm just looking at the daily, and what I want want to do is quickly just roll out to the weekly and take a peek there, because that can tell us more. You can see that this rally from July of 2015, actually probably before, maybe 2014, this thing has just been, I mean, it has its corrections, but it has a very strong upward slope. This was a total market correction. So that's what happened there. And then, of course, it participated in the recovery. The steepness of this rally concerns me, as it does in the indexes. When things start to go parabolic, it would be very similar, a statement similar to what when you're saying that the 200-day moving average is 100% above current prices or below, you know, the stock price is 100% above the 200-day moving average. I'd be looking for something to go down versus going up. And this remains the case with Costco. Now, Costco tends to follow or make the same types of pattern that we'll see in the indexes that it belongs to. Biggest one, of course, being the NASDAQ. And I believe that there's still some downside to come. Not going to be too severe, but we're looking at from 307 to 280, that's about 27 points from wherever this rally tops out, and whether it's done now or whether it still has a little bit more. So if you're looking at 27 points from here, you're looking at 269, where it could drop down to. It's going to find support in this area. So it's going to find support just above 280, of course, 280 and all the way down. And if it starts to break below 263 and 260, then I think something's up and we're in trouble. And so if you own the stock and you have owned it for quite some time, you likely need to put some type of protection under. And Jim is the expert on what types of positions can be put on. And so I'll let him address that. And if you're thinking about buying the stock, let the correction finish and see what happens. Also see what happens in the broader markets. And because I also believe that as good as companies are, they will not escape a broader market correction. So I think there's a lot of factors that need to be put in. If you're thinking about getting into the stock, if you're thinking about getting out of the stock, maybe not a bad move, and taking your profit. And Jim advocates for,
Yeah, anybody who has any questions on the option strategies, we're not going to be entertaining those now, but I'll give you my email address at the end of the broadcast, and they could shoot me an email if they had any generic question.
Right, and that would be great.
But on Costco, you make some great points here. A couple of other points just to add in is the valuation, which is now becoming a word that people are dusting off out of the dictionary, valuation. Right. And it's 35-1 PE ratio. Walmart is 26-1 PE ratio. So I don't know if it's overpriced or not, but it certainly at 35 doesn't look overly cheap. And then, of course, the 200-day average was down around the 240s area, 240, 250. And at 307 in September, it was about 20% above the 200-day average. Now, this company is enormous. So when an enormous company gets above the average, 20, 30, 40%, that's a big thing, because we're not talking about mom and pop here. This thing is a $128 billion company. Yeah. So, like I say, that 307 number for September looks like it's safe for a while, unless the whole board starts turning up. And then it has some real estate to fill in, as much as maybe 20 to 40 bucks. If there was a correction in the overall market, maybe you'd see that. But right now it has great company, and a lot of people like to hold on to it. And
I will just add the nature of Costco. If we drop into a recession, or even the hint of a recession, or some type of an economic downturn, Costco, I believe, will continue to do well, because their whole premise is you buy in bulk and it's discounted.
Yeah, no, that's their whole thing. The other thing is their memberships. Does it matter if they grow their memberships from here? If it does, and their membership doesn't grow as much, then obviously that's a problem. If the profitability off the current memberships is fine, then it's not an issue. But if the company valuation is depending upon growth of membership, and that doesn't happen, of course, that would be a wild card as well. Let's switch over here to a company that clearly has been improving since its 52-week low, but has stalled out a little bit lately, and that's IBM.
Right.
And of course, they had the Red Hat purchase, which is a big thing. And let's just talk a little bit about IBM.
IBM IBM has been around as long as I have. And I think that the company falls prey to what a lot of other people believe they should be doing. And sometimes they might seem to be a little slow to come to the marketplace, a little bit slow to change the product line, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that what IBM does well now is their work or their programs or whatever that are in the cloud. They have built quite a strong business there. And I see what you're talking about. You know, the stock just kind of keeps going down, going down. And these rallies are also good, but they're not really what I would call a strong trend, even though they may take a year to get there. I think that there's too many ups and downs. Now, going back to the daily, like everything else that we've seen thus far, IBM topped out at 152.95 back in August, at the beginning of August, and then started a what I would call an Elliott ABC correction. So this is A, this is B, and now we're doing C. If C, the most common relationship is C is equal to A. So you can measure that out and you can see that the stock is likely going to come down to about 125, maybe a little bit lower. That would be a spot where I would say that this correction would be over, unless of course the pattern again shifts and turns into more of a trending pattern down. So initially I would be looking for it. It dipped and closed just below the 200-day moving average on my charts, and that may not be received very well. As far as technical trading goes, I'm sure that they're going to see some stronger sell orders come Monday morning. But I'd be looking for the stock to complete this portion of the correction and go below the low that it made in August again at 128.83. I would expect it to go below that and likely down to 125-ish. And that's it. Did we lose Jim?
Hey, Jim, looks like you're muted. I'm going to try to unmute you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. On IBM, quick intake here is that this is a company that over time has been having declining highs and lower lows over a long period of time. Back in the 2012 area, the high was around 210. Then it came down to like 175, 180. And then the recent highs are 153. So if you can stay above this 125 mark, you know, then I think you have some reason to hold it because you're getting paid almost 5% dividend. And the P ratio is only 14. If it breaks under 125, you don't know what's going on with this thing. If I was interested in buying it, I'd want this recent high of 153 to get taken out because that would give me a lot of confidence that maybe the trend is changing. Right now, it just looks like it had another rally to 153 and it's already in the fade mode. So bottom line is above 153, you could put your boat legs on underneath 125, you'd have to reassess why you're holding on to it.
Yeah. And I think if you actually move out to the monthly chart, you can see that there is potential for over, now again, monthly charts, you think about several months, that the stock could drop below 105.
Well, like I say, I'd rather let the market tell me what's going on because obviously you'd like to follow money flow. If it starts taking out 125, obviously something's going on that's not very good. And if it takes out 153, it'll be one of the first times that a high point was taken out. And so that would be very constructive to the company.
Yes.
But this next one is supposed to be a big beneficiary of all these trade talks. And we're still waiting for that.
We are, aren't we?
And so this is United States Steel. Is it a bargain down here at one-third of its 52-week high? Because the 52-week high is about 30, and we're trading just a shade over 10. So anybody want a 67% discount to the high? It's available to you right now. But what are we thinking here, Mike?
Even worse, you could take a look at the monthly chart and see what happened in 2008, that U.S. Steel hit a high of 196 and then proceeded to puke its guts up and dropped all the way down to 16.
You know, when you get down to $10 on something, it's almost like a long-term option. So, you know, obviously you're putting up 10 bucks or so, 11 bucks, and right. Then obviously you hope it's not going to go to zero. The PE ratio, according to my screen, is 1.98. So certainly it sounds like an awfully cheap stock, but there has to be some reason that it's going down like this.
U.S. Steel has suffered at the hands of competition, and because U.S. Steel cannot produce steel as cheaply as China. So there is the gist of their problem, so to speak. But I'm going to be in total agreement with what you just said, that U.S. Steel is a very large company. And from what I understand, I thought that they were opening plants versus shutting them. They may have reversed. I don't follow it that closely. But from here, your downside is to that all-time low at $16.15. That's your risk from right here. So yes, I would begin to accumulate stock because I don't see the steel industry going away.
And yeah, if you wanted to speculate, this is a place to do a spec. You know, the short interest is 28% of the stock almost. So you got Tom, Dick, and Harry all selling this thing on a short interest. And if they want to lift those shorts and buy in, and there's an event that goes with it, you know, it could reverse back up towards 18 to 20 pretty fast. Again, there's no evidence of any of that happening right now, but it does look like a fairly sold out thing here.
Yeah. And it's finding support at $10 right now.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, folks, I would buy it at $10. It reminds me a lot of what the markets did to stocks in 2008, 2009. They just came in and short sellers just knocked it, and just did not let up. And I saw that in more stocks. And my thought process was that if U.S. Steel goes out of business, goes bust, and they had to sell all the plants, all the equipment, inventory, et cetera, what would be the value? You know, what money would they have? Is it going to be more than $11 per share, or is it going to be less, or is it going to be more? So, and I use that example because I remember when Ford got slaughtered, and it was trading at $1.50 one afternoon, and I just thought this is ridiculous. So I started buying it at $1.50. Not that I really understood what was going on at Ford, but I just thought they have plants, they have equipment, they have inventory, they've got tons of things. So it's got to be worth more than $1.50. Lo and behold, it is. And it bounced back to, well, now it's trading at 9 or 10. But, you know, the stock did bounce. Maybe the same thing can happen here with U.S. Steel if, again, the perceived problems or the real problems are solved and the company gets back on a good path.
Yeah, I mean, apparently they're making money. So obviously that's not the issue. I'm not an expert on U.S. Steel, but I would say on the numbers, it looks very, very inexpensive because the P/E ratio and the short interest is a potential positive. But there could very well be more behind the curtain that I'm aware of because based on the numbers I'm looking at, it's hard to believe that it is at $10. So that would lead me to believe there's more behind the curtain that I'm aware of. And that's why I would encourage anybody who's interested in this to go further into the water than we're talking right now.
Right.
This next one is China, and it would be great to talk about China because obviously we got the meeting coming up on Thursday. Now, this is a $28 billion company called Baidu, and it has gone down towards its lows here, 99 today, and the 52-week low was in August at around 93. So what are you thinking here on Baidu?
I never liked the company and never liked the stock. I always thought something was up, and so I watched it, and I think a lot of it, the hype that pushes stocks up to, you know, $284 is the fact that they trade options. They trade the stock. It's a member of indexes, et cetera, et cetera. And that all participates in what a stock price is going to do. And then, of course, you just had, they're incredible. You know, like here we have Amazon has Black Friday deals. Baidu has that one time a year, I guess, or twice a year, where it's things are so deeply discounted. And that's really helped the company. And again, like you just said, Jim, it's worth $28 billion. That's got to say something. But right now, this is beginning to look like it's a fairly complete corrective pattern off of that 284.22 high. And again, this is on a weekly chart now. And once again, the stock is well below the 200-day moving average. So I'm going to let Jim comment on that one. But I think that it's holding its own. It of course, has the possibility if we see some major corrections in the market, it's going to happen here. If we see some imbalance coming out of the China trade talks, we're going to see something here. So there's a lot of factors still kind of sitting out there that need to be known. Right now, they're unknown. But I think it could go below that all-time low. How much below? I would have to get into more detail into the structure of this decline. But right now, I would think that if you own the stock and you own it above here and you've never ever put any protection on it, you're sweating bullets and you're a little late. I don't know if you'd really want to sweat bullets. And the only thing I think you could do from here is you buy more and bring your cost basis down. And there are a lot of ways to do that. You, again, using options. But I think the stock could go a little bit lower. But I would be looking for a substantial rally to begin soon.
Yeah, this stock definitely got hit and whacked, and it is about 30% underneath its 200-day average. And 14-to-1 P ratio is not off the charts. But it is a steady loser, and so you definitely are taking a contrarian bet. I don't know what the calls are going for, but if you had spec money and you wanted to take a shot at a longer-term call, this might not be a bad neighborhood if it's going to hang on to this 90 price. So you're in a lower area. It is way oversold. It clearly would benefit if there was any kind of a deal, more than likely. But if I had to play anything with China, I generally look at BABA. And BABA got whacked pretty hard here today. That rally up towards 180 seems to obviously be over. And it's underneath its 200-day and its 50-day average now. Mm-hmm. So the vibe out of the Chinese stock market here is not positive right this second. And so, that 150 level on BABA, very important. And recent highs of 180 are very important. Mm-hmm. And so, but a $450 billion or $438 billion market cap on BABA, you'd have to believe that if there's any improvement in the relationships, BABA would obviously be one to benefit as well.
Right.
But, they're all on the you can see they're all on the defensive. So they're on the defensive because talks are probably not going that well. And things that are being asked are probably unreasonable to one side or the other. So, in that kind of an environment, maybe we just had a dead cat pounce on BABA up to 180, and now it's all over, and it's going to take out 150. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. But today's action clearly wasn't very good.
Right.
Next up is Facebook. What do we got for Facebook?
Trouble. First of all, this thing, hits a high at $218 back in July of 2018 and immediately tanks on bad news and then continues to drop as that news got worse and worse. Rallies back up to 210 based on probabilities and not fact, I believe. And not that Facebook is a bad company. I think Facebook is too far out there. I think there's a lot of negative talk towards Mark Zuckerberg and his ability to run the company and to change policy, change objectives, change, mission statements. And the business model has worked tenfold up to this point. At the moment, again, I think that Facebook is involved in a longer term corrective decline. And this was the first wave or the A wave, this was the B wave, and now it's beginning the C wave. The C wave will break down into its own five waves. And again, this is a weekly chart, so it's going to unfold in quite some time. And it looks like it's just beginning to drop into a major decline. And so I actually, other than it's a round number, you've got 170. I don't think that that's going to be support. I think 160 may provide some because we have it here and here. But then you've got the 200-day moving average sitting on my chart at 151.53. And I think that that can be broken ultimately and maybe produce some acceleration to the downside because ultimately this will not end until it gets below 122.
It looks like that rally really was just filling in the gap that it had there. And then right now you could make some kind of a case for a head and shoulders top there. And
yeah.
if it breaks under 170, there goes the neckline.
Yeah.
But you do have some moving averages underneath that might form a net. But, it'll be interesting to see. The bottom part of your chart, the stochastics, they're underneath the...
It's a stochastic momentum.
Right. So is this thing losing momentum?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And again, when it's on a weekly basis, it is heading towards oversold on the basis of a stochastic, but you can see that stocks can stay oversold for an extended period of time.
Oh yeah. No, it's just a little guide. That's it.
So, here we have it that on July 30th of 2018, it slipped into oversold. Looks like it bottomed in October, but stayed oversold until December of 2018. So from basically July to December, it was oversold. Could that happen again? Sure. All hope is now sitting on earnings. So
yeah, a lot of things are going to be changing in the next month, starting next week with the banks when they come out and do their earnings. So, I mean, if this thing doesn't get a lifeline from earnings or some kind of a China deal, it might be interesting to see where prices go. But, you know, sometimes dark is before dawn, and you'll see a situation where people get very melancholy and all of a sudden the news changes or reports come out differently. And somebody was mentioning the PMI, it was under 40, under 50 at 47, but last year it was at 61. So if you average both years out, you're at 54, which is not bad. So there's a lot of different ways to crunch the numbers and kind of form your opinion around how you want them to look, I guess.
Right. The caveat to all of this is Oculus. And, you know, they're starting to push product out into the marketplace. And that's been Zuckerberg's baby. This is something that he wanted. He went and bought them. He paid a lot of money for them. And it's been kind of under wraps, like progressing constantly. And again, being that Facebook is in my backyard and they're moving a lot of people up here to San Francisco, you get to hear a lot of what's kind of happening inside. And there's a lot of weight being put on Oculus at the moment. So that could be the caveat to an extended downside.
All right, this next one is in the software area. And of course, like I say, the semis and some of the other techs didn't do so great today. This one got nailed for about 5%, but it certainly had some to give back because it's gone from $50 to $150 in the last 52 weeks or less than 52 weeks. So it's had quite a 300% jump since November of last year. The high again, I'm noticing the highs on a lot of stocks were in September. High in Roku, September. High in some of these other ones. NVIDIA, I think, was in September. It's interesting that they all coincide with that same kind of month. At any rate, this baby was down about $7 here today, and but it's had a heck of a run. What are you thinking of this software company, Coupa?
I think people should be paying attention to the earnings and seeing how much money this company is likely not making, and can it really support a valuation of $140 or $150? Again, it's market pushed. It's market valuation. This is a great company. Everybody's got to have it. Boom. Next thing you know, we're pushing it up. Then they report earnings, and it drops $20 to $30. I find the pattern to be very strange and corrective, but kind of weird. And so it could be the first leg is down to here. The second leg may take us back to 156, undecided yet. If it starts to break more towards 135, then my answer would be no. And this would be the intervening rally to this thing. And now it again is in the next declining phase. And if that's the case, I would suspect that it will drop below 123 before all is said and done. Again, on the daily, I've got the 200-day at 114. That may provide support, but if things are serious and the markets are everybody out of the pool mode, 114 is going to mean nothing. It'll be passed in the wind as they smash it. So I think that on the way up, when we're talking about resistance, but we're in a bull market and we are pushing, and everybody's jumping into stocks, you know, resistance doesn't mean anything. Same thing coming down. If the decline is severe and it's fed by news or an event, 114 will not hold anything. But
I mean, obviously it's still in a overall uptrend, but it is, again, like biotechs, IPOs, or stocks that don't have earnings or very high P ratios. It's a live by the sword, die by the sword type of deal. So if you are living by the sword, you're going to go from 50 to 150. If they come out and announce something that says their losses are going to be increasing for whatever reason, and the appetite for these flyers are gone, you know, it's got $9.4 billion of market cap, so there could be a few people who want to get out. And it did hit about a 50% above its 200-day average in September, and that already has started some selling. So, you know, again, it is a high flyer from the standpoint of the lack of earnings and for the fact that it obviously has gone up 300%. So, if you want to speculate that it's going to keep going to 200 because you feel like their software is going to be the cat's meow and they're going to turn a profit at some point, then that's your game. But, you know, this kind of a stock, you know, has some unique risk to it like the other ones that I mentioned.
Right, right.
Michael, we're going to stop right here for 1 second. And is there any particular market you'd like to outline that, you know, it's not on the list here, but it would give people a little bit of an idea of something that you're looking at? Or a couple of ideas, yeah.
Gold. I am a gold bug. I have analyzed gold and traded gold for over 35 years. And I'm finding it extremely interesting. Let me go up to the monthly and I can show this better. I was looking for a corrective rally. And so this has been on my chart, well, for 3 years at least. And so I did my Fibonacci's and set them up. And I felt this level, 137, that could contain it, which you can see it did. But then it started to break. And I believe that it's going to go up one more time and likely at least touch 1583, if not exceed it a little bit, and then decline again. Gold is a storehouse of value. Gold will never go to zero. And so we got to bear that in mind. But the market looks at gold as something to sell because it has no, it doesn't have pay a dividend, it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, but gold is something that I believe investors or people with 401ks or people that are building their own nest egg always should include gold. I think that gold will likely have an additional down leg, similar to what we saw here. And it's going to start from wherever this thing tops out, whether it's 1583 or 1600. Wherever it starts, it's going to drop the equivalent of $900. And that's going to put it down into this area. And I don't think people are expecting that. What could cause that? Interest rates, you know, just a lot of different things can cause it. But I don't think that it's going to be something that should scare people away. If you own gold, you can be prepared for all of these moves. Again, you need to email Jim so that he can more detail what to use and how to put it on. But you can protect yourself in both directions. You can protect yourself against a major decline, and you can help yourself make more money during an advance. I think that gold over the long term now will have an additional correction, and it will drop it below $1,000, which it's not seen in, when's the last time I was over there? 2008, 2009. But it could be a similar occurrence, a financial crisis. That's what happened in 2008, 2009. Can happen here, but we can see how bloated or explosive this became versus this. But the severity of the move is very similar. So I think we get another down leg. I think it drops gold back below $1,000. But me personally, I continue to hold a core position in gold. I will continue to keep it. And as it comes down below my levels, I will add to that position. And I may use selling puts. I may use buying calls and then exercise them, or I may just buy the future. You can also always just buy physical gold, gold coins. There are a lot of different things you can do. But
In addition to the gold, is there anything else that you're looking at? Because I think you're looking at something else as well besides the gold.
I look at interest rates. I believe that interest rates sit at the top of the food chain in terms of the market. Interest rates dictate everything. They dictate what direction the market's going to go in. It dictates what's going to happen to the underlying currency, et cetera, et cetera. So this is big daddy. And I think interest rates, they continue to hold above 160 on the basis that now everyone is convinced that the Fed has to keep lowering rates. But I'm seeing some very significant breaks and cracks in the banking system, and particular in the overnight rate and the repo rate. The Fed has had to come in strongly now several times to fund the shortage. So I think, I don't remember exactly when it was, that maybe a month ago, where we saw in the overnight rate, which was supposed to be fixed between 2 and 2.25, suddenly somebody was bidding 5% and then somebody bid 10% because they needed to meet their funding amounts. Otherwise, there would be serious problems in transactions clearing. When I start to see that, I immediately look at interest rates and I'm like, cutting interest rates is not the answer. I just don't see the probability that interest rates are going to go back above, or bonds are going to go back above 177. I think this rally is going to be continued to be held below 169, and eventually it will become necessary that rates begin to go up more persistently, and that will kill the bonds. We've seen a lot of trouble. We've seen these backwardation between different products. We've seen the short end versus the long end of the curve running into trouble, and it all comes down to money. It comes down to the almighty dollar. It comes down to the euro, all of the money that's out there. And I think that will continue to plague the market. So it's not as simple as, gee, interest rates need to come down because I don't want to pay as much. It's much more complicated than that. And I would continue to be short bonds.
All right, let's take a quick look at a few more of these before we have to shut it down. The next one is going to be on a solar company, SEDG, which actually has been doing very, very well here. I'm not familiar with them, but what do you see? And let's kind of be as brief as possible so that we can get through some more names, because we got about six more.
Okay. The rally is still intact, but I think it's topping for the moment. And again, this is on a monthly chart, so it would begin to give us a preview that the market needs to pull back. And then you can start to work out levels that it should come to. Obviously, the market's going to find support right here at 80 to 78. Next level is going to be 70. And whether that holds or whether it doesn't, I don't know. Solar is gaining a lot of traction, an awful lot of traction. And as the battle with fossil fuels comes stronger into play, we're going to have to start turn to something else. That's going to be solar. So on the basis of that, I don't know how much of this is actually just market valuation pushing hard, because they see it as well. So I don't know on where the stock is sitting versus reality. But I think that, it's, look at all these green bars. That's a lot. And it's not over, but my momentum remains high. So we're still seeing, the pressures on the buy side versus the sell side. And until that changes and gives a signal that we are turning lower, that the momentum is dried up, stay long.
Okay. Another couple of them here are on the defensive, Exxon and Biogen. They're both pressing their 52-week lows. So, there's not really too much to talk about them. If you're a bargain hunter, obviously the prices look pretty cheap. And in the terms of Exxon, you've got a pretty good dividend. But they're both got hit here pretty good today, and they both are very close to their 52-week lows. So, if you're a bargain hunter, they might be of interest. But as far as momentum, they certainly don't have very good momentum right now. Let's look at ISRG and see if that's a little different story. Similar. Now, today it got hit, but it has been trying to rise over the last period of time, but it did look like it gave it up pretty good here today, down $17. This is Intuitive Surgical.
Right, and I think that it's medical. Down simply because of the market. Yeah. And it's down $17 because it's trading above 500. Yeah. So, percentage-wise, it falls in line with what happened in the markets. I think Intuitive Surgical is got products that are knocking the socks off of surgery. When you need to go in and have something done, their products are making it easier for neurologists to just really find pinpoint things. So I'm a big fan of the stock. I'm not out there paying $500 for it, but I think that it's a strong company with strong products that are not going to go away.
Okay. And here's the one. AMD. It's obviously very, very widely traded and very, very interesting stock to people. So let's close it out with AMD and see what we think here, because AMD, was doing quite well, and then they had some announcement, and then people really gave up on it lately. But what do you think about AMD?
AMD is the perennial favorite in the chip world, in the in tech. I think that it ebbs and it flows. I think that it's a two-way street. It has tons of liquidity. The options trade freely and in mass. So I think it's a really great trading stock. I don't think it's a stock that you're going to go, well, I'm going to buy Advanced Micro Devices because I think it's going to 50. But it is a great trading stock if you are a day trader, if you're an options and stock trader, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I would come from. I don't have a problem with AMD being at $28. I think that it's participating to the downside because the whole market was trashed and the NASDAQ and the Qs took a nosedive basically into the close today. So what it basically tells me on this thing, it's come down to the 200-day moving average and it gave it a little kiss and then popped back above. That's all technical. If it breaks below, you're going to see another, maybe a little push harder because people are going to sell based on that. I think that the market in terms of stochastic and momentum also started to turn before it got overbought and now looks like it's going to start to head lower. It hasn't definitely given that definitive signal yet, but I believe that it's out. So I would be looking for AMD to continue to go lower, pick your points and trade options and stock and have a blast.
All right. We're at the top of the hour. Why don't, if you could, Michael, just reintroduce yourself to new people who are listening and also give them the exact way to get a hold of you and what any special offers you might have right now.
Again, Michael Filiguera. I am the owner of LogicalSignals.com and its parent company, MJF1 Partners. And if you would like to get a hold of me, please send me an email to michael@logicalsignals.com. It will get to me. I do answer all questions. They may not be the answer that whomever is looking for, but I try to be honest and upfront with what I see or what's going on. Currently, there's been a lot of talk coming my way, people wanting, when are you going to start your trade room? When are you going to start it up again? I doubt that I'm going to do that at all. And but I do offer coaching. I do offer education to people that may be wanting to get into the futures markets. And now with the micros, it's really possible to learn how to trade futures and to trade against the big boys that can drop something. You know, if you're coming in with a small account, micros were a product made for small accounts. And you can trade and you can learn, you can build a position, you can, you know, liquidate a position, all as a day trader and make money. So I think if you have an interest in the micros, send me an email. We've got some good stuff going on as to learning how, and then again, learning how to trade in the futures market.
Okay, great. For closing out here, I'm Jim Kenny. And again, I can be reached by email as well. I did want to just let you know that I do have an opinion and observation issue. And with the S&P 500, my view has been that 2950 to 3100 is a sell zone ever since we had the rally. And I predicated that opinion on the fact that the transports and the Russell have been unable to get on the bicycle and stay on the bicycle for any length of time. So I'm sticking with my base case that 2950 to 3100 area is in a sell zone. And I am very familiar with hedging tactics, meaning tactics you would use using options to protect your portfolio and the use and the risk of each one of those type of tactics. So what I invite you to do is, if you'd like to know my take on these markets as well as these hedging tactics, having them explained to you, I'd be more than happy to do so. Option Professor, OptionProfessor@gmail.com. Shoot over your question and your contact info, and I'll be more than happy to give you a hand. Right now, I'm sending it back over to David. Thanks, everybody, for listening here today.
All right. Thanks, guys. Just a quick reminder to everyone listening, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past shows. And I just want to thank my guests again for today, Michael Filiguera of LogicalSignals.com and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.